today on Real Radio.
The Holy Spirit for now is alongside every human ever born in this world saying, you need Jesus. You need your sins forgiven. You don't have the hope of heaven. If you die tonight, you're scared. He drives you. He's striving with your sin and your sinful ways. If you're not a Christian this morning, are you with me?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church, continues a series called The Book of Acts. Now, the Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and also through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. In the message called The Holy Spirit Comes to the Gentiles from Acts chapter 10, verses 23 through 48, we learn that God is not divided on who he saves. So whether we come to God as a Jew or a Gentile means nothing to him. It's all those who come to him who are poor in spirit or have a broken heart that God will not turn away from, but will receive them unto himself through Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, we'll see the birth and the ministry of the Gentile believers. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament had two functions: to convict people of their sin and to come alongside people to point them to God. But in the New Testament, we can see how the Holy Spirit is not only alongside of us, he's in us the moment we become born again. And now, continuing his lesson called The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Are you saved this morning? Listen to this. 1 John 5:13, you know this well. For these things have I written unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And then 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if our earthly house, that is this tent, our body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Assurance that if you died today, you have, isn't it neat to realize, a body that you're going to get in heaven? And in my cartoon mind, I see this rack and there's this suit hanging there, empty, waiting for me to fill it up. A suit made for heaven. I'm beginning to doubt if my body is even made for earth anymore. But we've got a body, the assurance. And that's good news. It says in verse 15, I want you to hang on to your seats, and I want to spend really the rest of the study time that we've got left, not much, but on this important fact. Listen to verse 15. And as I began to speak, Peter says, the Holy Spirit fell upon, circle that in your Bible, fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. In verse 15, you can draw an arrow all the way to verse 45 of chapter 10. Because he is the gift. That is the gift. Listen carefully, you guys. I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to say something that might freak you out. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised in John chapter 14, the coming upon experience of the Holy Spirit was a gift. In Acts 10:45, it says that there's the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 11:15, right here, it says, Peter says, now listen, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. No distinctions. Well, what is he referring to? He's referring to Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. I want to ask you something. Listen carefully. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, were the 120 gathered in that upper room believers? Yes, they were. Were they born again? Yes, they were. You're going to have to really put your thinking cap on. This is tough. When they received Jesus, that is Cornelius, as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came in them and upon them. I'll prove it to you in a moment. Hang on. You cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit coming inside you. Are you with me? It's impossible. Question. Before Jesus Christ died on the cross, was Peter born again? The answer is no. He was not born again. Was Philip born again? No. Or Andrew? Or James? No. They were not born again. Were they believers? Yes. If they would have died before Jesus had given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, would they have been saved? Trick question. Would they have been saved? Well, didn't they believe in God? Yes. Did they believe in God as much as King David believed in God? Of course they did. Isaiah, Jeremiah, sure they did. If they would have died before Jesus had given the Holy Spirit, they would have been saved, but under the old covenant. Are you with me? They would have gone to Abraham's bosom. Are you with me? Just like Daniel and Abraham and all of the patriarchs did. Would they have eventually gotten to heaven where God dwells? Yes. But were they born again? No. You cannot be born again without, the scripture tells us, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And that has to take place on the inside of you. So Peter, this is tough, draw a line right in the middle of your head in your vision. Peter is saved under the Old Testament, but there's a moment of transition taking place where Peter comes into the New Testament. By the looks of your faces, I'm confusing you. Listen up. Watch this. The Old Testament function of the Holy Spirit was basically twofold. Number one, he convicted people. Number two, like in Samuel 10:6, he came upon people. But he never indwelt people inside. That's why David said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Are you with me? You can never say that right now if you're a believer. The Holy Spirit, the moment you became a believer, moved inside you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, by one Spirit you were baptized into the body of Christ. But does that mean you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. You can be born again and go into heaven and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Until the New Testament came, you only had those two functions. In the New Testament time, you have three functions of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not making this up. You study this for yourself. There are three Greek prepositions to the moving of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Three of them. Only two in the old, now there's three. Get this. John 14:16 and 17 says, and I will pray the Father, Jesus speaking, and I will give you another Eliezer, Parakletos, Helper, Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. How long? Forever. Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. No longer true in the New Testament. Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it does not know him, neither does it see him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, same as the Old Testament, same as the New, with, the word means alongside you, and shall be in you. Listen, people, in John 14, the Holy Spirit did not yet dwell in them. They were not yet born again. Though the Holy Spirit was alongside them. Do you know what the Holy Spirit was doing? He was doing what he did in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, where God says there that my Spirit will not always strive with man. It means my Spirit will not push, correct, draw along, point them to God. God says there's coming a day when my Spirit will not always do that. But the Holy Spirit for now is alongside every human ever born in this world saying, you need Jesus. You need your sins forgiven. You don't have the hope of heaven. If you die tonight, you're scared. He drives you. He's striving with your sin and your sinful ways. If you're not a Christian this morning, are you with me? Then Jesus said in John 14:17, He says, but you know him, that is the Holy Spirit, for he dwells alongside you, that is that association, and will be in you. The word is a future tense. It was prophetic. And here in John, I want you to write this down, because if you have any doubts in your mind about this, write this down. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, the two Greek prepositions appear in these two verses. First of all, the word with is para. It means to be alongside you. Para. The second one is the Greek word en. En. And we pronounce it in. And that word means to be assigned to be fixed upon, to be made secure, or to be installed in. Are you with me? Is everybody hanging on to this? As soon as you get it, we'll end and go home. I just don't want to stop right here. This is so important. He's been with you. Now he's in you if you're a believer. Hallelujah. You bet, hallelujah. When did the believers get born again? When were they born again then? In John 14, Jesus was telling them futuristically, he's going to be in you. Well, when? If I would have been Peter, I would have stood, I want him now. Don't tell me about this later stuff. I want him now. I want to know. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies on the cross. Your salvation is purchased and your sins are forgiven. And Jesus appears after his resurrection in John chapter 20, verse 22. And he's speaking to them, and Jesus says to the disciples, actually, when he got done speaking to them, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The word in the Greek is a present tense. They received him right then and there, at that moment. The Holy Spirit had been alongside them all their lives. In John 20, 22, after the resurrection, they were born again. The Holy Spirit moved inside them. Now at that moment, they were saved under what? The New Testament, the New Covenant, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. No longer would they ever say, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Jesus dispatched the Holy Spirit and said, basically, with all due respect, Holy Spirit, you go inside them and you stay there until I come back for them. They are mine, and the Holy Spirit is the down payment of my promise. And when I come back, I'll receive them unto myself, that where I am, there may be also. And the Holy Spirit, with all due respect, has been stuck with you and I for at least 36 years in my life. And every time I backslide, goof up, or look at something I shouldn't, the Holy Spirit says, stop it! He's alongside convicting me. He's inside saying, you are bought with a price and you belong to Jesus. You get away from this stuff. And I do just what you do. Oh, you just never let me have any fun. And he'll say, you wait till you get home. I'll give you fun. When your bridegroom shows up, you'll have a blast. Until now, you're to be a virgin. But there's something that's going on in the life of Cornelius and his friends that Peter's trying to convey to them. Not only are the Gentiles saved, boys, but the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and that is the third Greek preposition. The word is epi, E-P-I. It means to be above, or to be over, or to be upon, or to cover. And you can be a born-again believer this morning and not have the Holy Spirit upon you. You're powerless. You have no victory over sin. You're victimized and vandalized by this world. Rather than you infecting the world for righteousness, the world is infecting you with its sinful ways and temptation. And you're powerless, but yet you're going to heaven. You're miserable, yet you're going to heaven. What's the problem? You are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be full. I thought you said I had him. Oh, you do. He came inside you, 1 Corinthians 12:13, the moment you were born again. But let me ask you this, how much of the Holy Spirit does he have of you? To be full of the Holy Spirit means the Holy Spirit owns you outright and he's able to move your hands. When your voice speaks, it's the Holy Spirit through you. When you reach out, it's done in the Spirit. You have no joy in your life because the Holy Spirit is sequestered and almost bound by chains in your life, and you need Him. Though you are already going to heaven and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have no power. Let me tell you something. Somebody who's Spirit-filled can't walk around complaining. He won't tolerate it. Someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit can't think about themselves all the time. He won't allow it. Someone who's full of the Holy Spirit, to be quite honest with you, run over to Ephesians 5, verse 8. We'll end here. Ephesians 5, 8. What is this thing of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 5, 8. Starting at verse 18. Ephesians 5. That's what am I trying to say? Verse 18. I get so excited sometimes. This is amazing. Listen, Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine. Well, no kidding. I thought we already knew that. Why is he saying this? Don't be drunk with wine, in which there's dissipation, leaking out, running down, losing its influence. What a funny line. Do not be drunk with wine, because it leads to weakness. It'll run out. But be, and the Greek is be, being continually, as much as necessary, filled again with the Holy Spirit. See, if you were filled on June 17th, 1967, you need to be filled again. Before your little your feet hit the floor tomorrow morning. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's what Ephesians 5:18 is all about. Look what it says. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means to be under His influence. Isn't that exciting? What happens when you drink wine? You get under its influence. What happens to you? You see a person drink wine, the first thing they do is they get very talkative. I was in a court case, and they brought in a criminologist, and the judge or the attorney said, what's the first thing that happens to a person when they become intoxicated? The guy says they get very jovial, and they lose all moral inhibitions. I thought that was pretty enlightening. Oh, and off goes the clothes. Oh, and out goes the wallet. Oh, buddy, old pal. Hey, and then money starts flowing. They don't even have any money. Oh, buddy, old bubbo, pally, wally. Hey, that's the moment to ask him for a loan, you know, right then and there. What's happening? He's coming under the influence of the alcohol, of the spirits. He's under the influence. What happens if he continues and he continues to drink? And what happens? You knock yourself out eventually. Dissipation. But when the Holy Spirit possesses you, when you are intoxicated by the Holy Spirit, He fills you up and energizes you and gives you life. And one of the very first things that you see is joy. Joy. Peace. All of the fruits of the Holy Spirit recorded in Peter and in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. And I looked at this and I became convicted. The Holy Spirit wants to possess us. He's been here in the life of the Gentile church just beginning. And what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit upon us? Jesus said in Acts 1:5. He said in Acts, what did he say in Acts 1:5? For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Look at Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. Not alongside is the word. Not inside is the word. But the word is upon. The word means to cover you. because you already have the Spirit in you and beside you. And the third preposition is for him to be on you. And it makes all the difference in the world. Father, we come before you this morning. And God, we beg of you, Lord, we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon us, Lord. Father, that no matter where we are at in our Christian experience, Father, I don't care if a person is sitting here this morning who is a believer saying, I don't believe in this, my denomination didn't tell me that. Lord, just break the chains that surround them. And Father, fill them. Lord, right now, while even arguments might be offered up about I don't understand or I've never heard, Lord, reveal by thy word your power. Father, as the word of God went forth, your spirit fell. And not only went from the outside to the inside, but went upon Cornelius and his Gentile family. And oh God in heaven, I beg of you, that your Holy Spirit would so rest upon this body of believers that, Lord, the world would have to stop and take notice that they are driven, possessed, intoxicated, filled with the Spirit of the living God. And Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we know, Lord, because that is your desire, that you will do it. And it's in your name we pray.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church. Thanks for listening, and like Peter, we can be eternally grateful that the God of the Jews is also the Savior of every nation. The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As we move forward in the book of Acts, we've learned that the apostles of the first New Testament church faced a lot of resistance from the religious leaders of that time. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, they witnessed with boldness as the Holy Spirit told them what to say. And today, well, it's no different. We're still called to be witnesses for Christ. So if you need help in sharing your faith or you've accepted Christ for the first time, let us point you in the right direction. You can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We've also got a tab there. It's called Know God. It gives you special presentations of the gospel to help you share it with others, or maybe to reaffirm your own decision for Christ. And Pastor Jack also offers weekly devotions. These devotions are offered once a week to inspire you and deepen your relationship with God. You can also access any of this information that I just mentioned at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get ready for part 9 of Happening Now with Pastor Jack Hibbs and his special guest, Amir Safati. Now you can join them in person or through Facebook Live on September 19th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. During the live broadcast, Pastor Jack and Amir will examine God's prophetic word from the Bible in light of current world events. And in these unstable times, it's vital that you have a well-grounded understanding of God's word. There will also be a Q&A time, and you don't have to have a Facebook account to join in on the live broadcast. And if you've missed any of the previous Happening Now sessions, simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Happening Now tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, it's all at your fingertips when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.